we've got Hannah Poikkanen, who is a dancer and a neuroscientist, which is probably a pretty good introduction to anybody. So I'm going to not waste too much time. We'll get stuck straight in and invite Hannah to present. Hannah, away you go.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Adrian. And welcome, everybody. So I'm Dr. Hannah Poikkanen, and I, as Adrian mentioned, I'm both neuroscientist and dancer. And I have developed a method called Wise Motion, in which I combine neuroscience and dance in a concrete way. So today you will get a little tasting from that. In addition to the Wise Motion method, which I've been teaching in North America, in Europe, and in Asia, I also do research at the ETH Zurich in Switzerland, focusing on the neuroscience of embodied cognition. So how we will do today, we have about 50 minutes, which is very short time for such a big rich concept, but yeah, so we go with a small tasting. I will share with you a PowerPoint presentation. And then through that, we have a couple of very small movement exercises. So if that sounds good to you, we can keep going. And then I just opened here. I hope you all can see it. Okay, I remind you, there is also a Q&A box. So if you have some questions or comments throughout my talk or throughout the sessions, whenever, just write it down. I try to keep it on eye and then answer to your questions. But in case I didn't have time to do it during the presentation, we try to leave some time for Q&A after. So it will be great to have some interaction. But what are we going to talk about today? It goes with the topic, the brain intertwined, movement, emotion, and cognition. And what does this mean? Traditionally, from the brain sciences or from the mind sciences, psychology, it was thought that the emotions, the cognition, and body are kind of all separate elements with no interaction with each other. But what I would like to highlight in this talk and the main message to take home is this: the healthy brain is dynamic. So in the brain, the cognition, emotion, and movement are very strongly interconnected, which I hope you will get a small tasting during this presentation. So this is the take home message: the healthy brain is dynamic. We need all different kind of stages. We need the very deep sleep, and on the other hand, we need these moments when we are very precisely alert, so that the brain stays healthy, let's say, in the long run. So what we go through today, we start with really in an anatomical way. So we go through certain brain regions which are related to movement. And then we do small exercise related to emotions and movement, and also cognition and movement. Then I just talk very briefly what kind of training program could be based on neuroscience, based on brain research, which you could apply for experts, athletes, dancers, for example, and also in rehabilitation. And then shortly conclusions and some questions, hopefully. So this is a list of brain regions we will go through today. And we have an embodied example of each one of these. So it makes it easier to understand. For some of you, probably this list is very familiar. For some of you, completely new. So you will learn about this list today. So we go through brainstem, somatosensory cortex, basal ganglia, limbic system, motor cortex, cerebellum, prefrontal cortex, and mirror neuron system. You can see that there are quite a few brain regions connected to the movement. But before going to the movement exercise, okay, so let's do it the other way around. Yeah, let's start with the movement exercise. And after that, I will talk what the movement exercise was about. So I keep the surprise of the neuroscience behind it. You can do it in sitting or standing. I recommend standing because I'm sure many of us have been sitting in front of a computer way too much over the past months. So whenever we have a chance, let's take it and let's stand up. I will put the music. So meanwhile, you stand up, you can take a little bit of space, go backwards. We don't move much, we mainly move the arms. So you don't need that much space, but just so that you can see me okay, hopefully. I hope you can hear the music. And you can just stay there a little while. Enjoying the music. I hope you can hear me and the music okay. And just stand still and bring a little bit of the attention inward. You can close your eyes if you want. And also you can bring your attention to the breath. Just give a little moment for yourself. You can allow all the small muscles around your eyes to relax, in your face, in your shoulders, and also in your chest area, shoulder blades, upper back. And you can notice how there's a little bit more room for the lungs. So you can gently make each inhalation and each exhalation a little bit longer, but in a way that it feels good. And you notice that when you make the exhalation a little bit longer as well as the inhalation, the whole body starts to calm down. So you can allow the shoulders to relax, arms, elbows, wrists, palms, right thumb, right index finger, right middle finger, right ring finger, and right little finger, left thumb, left index finger, left middle finger, left ring finger, and left little finger. And from there, you can bring a mental image that in front of you, you have a glass of water on the table. And you can imagine reaching towards this glass of water. And when you have this mental image very strong, you can start moving accordingly. You can start reaching towards the glass of water. Very gently moving towards reaching to take the glass of water. You can try with both arms. And really reaching for the glass of water. And just do it a few times in your own way. Trying out both arms. Good, good. And then we can a little bit change the mental image. So we keep the same bridging moment. But we reach to stroke a cat or a dog or a baby or partner, whichever mental image works for you in this moment. It can be the soft fur of your pet, or it can be your child or your partner, whoever. You reach towards the stroke. This person or this animal you chose. Very gently. Again, you can try with both arms, but try to keep the mental image as strong as possible. And you might notice that when you give it a little bit of time and you really do the gesture, the mental image also gets stronger. Feel a little wide. And then little by little, you can allow this mental image to fade away. And you can just stand there a little while, your eyes closed. And bring your attention again to your breath. And then, little by little, you can get ready to open your eyes, move your fingers a bit, maybe shake your shoulders. And then, just take your time as you sit down to go forward. You also can count it down. This is supposed to be a very calming exercise, so it might take a little while for you to wake up back to this world. There is someone asking to flash the slide of the brain regions. I will go them through one by one, but let's see. Maybe I can show for a little while then. So let's go. There is someone asking to show the slide where I had all the movement regions. So here, and now we will go through, let's say, half of them, which we were activating throughout this exercise, which we did. So we did the movement exercise. Let's see, there is some comment. I'm just checking that you can see my slides. Oh, sweet. I was worried that you couldn't see my exercise, but there were just like comments for the exercise. Thank you so much. I'm happy you enjoyed it. I also find it's short, but it's somehow, as you described, powerful. Very engaging. And usually we do exercise. This is just the beginning of a bigger exercise, what we do. So usually we go through the whole body and it's about 20 minutes. So then it's even stronger. So what we intended to activate with this movement exercise, we started from the brainstem, which is in charge of this kind of like involuntary, unconscious movement, being adjusting the heart rate, swallowing, coughing, eye blinks, eye movements. One very important thing is that there's the center of respiration, and that's where we kind of brought our attention to. And I think what is wonderful with breathing is that we don't need to do anything. Every time we exhale, we don't need to do anything, and automatically there is an inhalation. That's because this brainstem sends the activity, and because it's the center of involuntary and unconscious movement. So every time there's a new inhalation. And what is also interesting that the respiratory center, it got its input from the cortex. Where is the conscious control like kind of cognitive control in general, which we will notice in the next exercise. But that's why we can consciously decide, okay, now we breathe a little bit calmer. So that's a rational decision. But through this rational decision, we can calm the breath and actually calm down the whole body and calm down the stress hormones. And so that's the neuroscientific theory behind why with conscious breathing, we can calm down the whole body, even though the respiratory center is there deep inside the brain. And the other part where the respiratory center gets input is from the hypothalamus, which we know that it's the center for hormonal changes. So, for example, rapid changes in the environment which causes stress and anxiety, these directly react with the respiratory center as well. So these kind of feelings or emotions, or also like prolonged stress, it also might make the breathing very, very shallow. So again, then we can take the advantage that we also have this conscious control into the breathing center and okay, consciously start to slower down the breathing and through that calm down the hypothalamus as well and be able to calm down the stress hormones. So that was the very beginning of the exercise. Then we went through this type of like yoga nidra exercise, especially focusing on the arms and the fingers. And there we move the activity more to the somatosensory cortex, which in general it's in charge of the touch sensation. So when we touch each other or someone touches us, we can activate this region. But it's also in charge of the proprioception, which is sometimes called that it's our sixth sense. So this internal understanding of our body posture and also like how we move in the space and how are our limbs in the space. And also if we have this like sense of lightness or sense of heaviness in the body. And what is important with this proprioceptive training that it improves the somatosensory and sensory motor functions, and also it can improve the impaired motor functions. So what I use these kind of imaginary movement exercises for is, for example, in the rehabilitation of stroke patients. Imagination is a very powerful tool. So that's why I wanted to, after really concretely thinking where are my fingers, so being so much like activating so much sensory cortex, I wanted to add the imagination as well. And we have a tendency, if we have both the visual information and the proprioceptive information, we have a tendency to rely more on the visual sensation. Where, but it's been noticed that professional dancers, for example, they have learned to listen more to their proprioceptive messages, so they rely more on proprioception. So what is important to know with the proprioception is that we can really train it. So it's good to do either active exercises, meaning moving ourselves in the space, passive, for example, in a hospital bed. It can be that someone else is moving the arm and this already increases the sense of proprioception. And also with and without visual input, so eyes closed and eyes open. So from there we advanced to the basal ganglia. That was when we created this mental image of reaching towards a glass, and then we actually started to move with that. The basal ganglia is in charge of this kind of voluntary movement and the smoothness of the movement. And what is typical for basal ganglia is that once we have practiced some movement really a lot, 1,000 times, like walking, like reaching, then the activity goes to basal ganglia. So these like very well practiced automated movements, they emerge from the basal ganglia as well as movement sequences. So with this imaginary reaching for the glass, I'm sure you didn't need to think how to do this movement. You just intuitively knew it. And that's because you've been practicing reaching movements since you were a baby. The other interesting influence what the basal ganglia has, it has this kind of like inhibitory functions on a number of motor systems. So what this means is that when the basal ganglia is active, it can inhibit some extra movements. So if you see, for example, a dancer on the stage or martial arts person Tai Chi or Kung Fu, even more stronger movements, but there's just this specific moment. The rest of the body is not doing extra movements. So that's because the basal ganglia is active and inhibiting these extra movements. And if we take then an example from the rehabilitation world, is that the Parkinson's disease is exactly starting to deteriorate this part of the brain, basal ganglia. And that's why there are these extra movements, uncontrolled movements, because this inhibitory activity doesn't work so well anymore. Luckily, this area of the brain can be trained as well. So there are very good results, for example, dance for Parkinson's type of exercises with tango dance in improving the movement smoothness and movement control. So movement is a very good medicine for this type of conditions. But then when we're talking like how actually movement is related to emotions, before it was thought the basal ganglia is very strongly a movement region in the brain, but just recently it was noticed that actually it's part of the limbic system as well, which is the emotional system we have. So basal ganglia seems to play an important role in reward, motivation, and also in addictions. So this again, why different kind of movement interventions might be very helpful in recovering from different kinds of addictions, that we can activate the basal ganglia in a, let's say, more natural, more healthy way, so that we don't need to add the activity with, let's say, substances or with some other addictive or with some other addictions. But again, basal ganglia is very, very crucial for automated movement, but also for the reward or motivation, these kind of emotional stages. So we have the reaching movement. That's when the basal ganglia was active. From there, we a little bit changed the mental image. I asked you to stroke, to touch. It could have been the pet or child, partner, whoever you chose with your mental image. With this one, I want you to activate the limbic system, which is the center, or which is not center. It's a network of several brain regions. So it's this system for emotions. So as you can see in the picture, it's deep inside the brain, and there are several brain regions involved. Something, for example, like anterior cingulate cortex, which is related to muscle tension, respiration again, and also anxiety. And this is another approach in addition to the breathing center, what I was explaining, but why calming down the breath, consciously relaxing the muscles, you could release release anxiety or ease the feelings of anxiety, because that would also calm down the activity in the anterior cingulate cortex. The other part on the limbic system is amygdala, which is the fear stress center, hippocampus, related to memories, which we were also activating. Maybe many of you with this stroking, you got some kind of concrete memory into your mind. And also the hypothalamus, as we spoke, that's the hormonal center that's related to the limbic system as well. So with this very simple exercise, I wanted to give you a feeling of how does it actually feel in the body and these different brain regions. And the imagination played a very, very important role in these ones. You could do it with real intentions, like really putting a glass on the table or really stroking, but it's been noticed that imagining something and really seeing it or really doing it, actually they activate the brain surprisingly similarly. So the imagination is a great tool we can use in very many different kind of situations. So then I would like to share with you another even shorter movement exercise, but it's very different, just so that I want to show you how differently, very similar movement what we did before, but just made with a different intention, how differently it can activate the brain. So that's why you can again stand up. I just give me a minute. I find the correct music, and get ready to a little bit challenge your cognition. I just search here a bit. But meanwhile, you're waiting for me to put the music. You can again like connect with your breathing, but be ready. There's the music is completely different. The exercise is completely different. Now we get us moving a bit more. So I hope you can hear the music okay. Great breaths. So we stay with the reaching movement, which you learn, pretty simple. You can start with left or right as you wish, but we kind of fraction this reaching movement. So how does it start? It starts by bending the elbow, then lifting the hand, and then reaching forward. And then you put it down. So we have we can fraction into these four sections. You can try in your own pace or with me, elbow up from the shoulder, reaching forward and putting down. You can try with both arms. With music or slower if you want. Maybe you can try both at the same time. Good. This is relatively easy. We can try in the rhythm of the music. The other one. Maybe both. So you can get a little bit playful. You don't need to do it. So what I do is just try to remember the four movements. You want to learn the advanced movements, or shall we say with this one? I'm sure you're doing great. The pity I can't see you. I wish I could see you. Let's try a little bit more challenge. It's so that you can choose one of the arms, which always goes one ahead. So when the other one goes here, whichever starts, the other one is still resting. Then the other one starts and the other one is always one ahead. Then the other one goes down and then you reach. And again, when this comes down, the other one is already going. And then it's going. Then, yes. And here starting again. Very good. Are you ready to try double tempo? You can try. Good. If you get the rhythm, you can do for a while. Or slower, as you wish. Yeah, okay, we can leave that one. So now I give you a little tiny free space. You can continue. If you want, with the same movement, one arm, or you can add these other two, what we had, reaching for the glass, or reaching to stroke, and you can start creating your own choreography, when it's kind of already set choreography movement, or these mental images, reaching for the glass, reaching to stroke. And you can combine them in your own way. your own way. I'll give you a little bit of time, so we will go back sitting. Okay, little by little, you can let it go, great. You can continue after the session. You can continue practicing. I'm sure many of you could catch it right away. But if you didn't, just keep practicing and it will come. Simple four movements, but completely different mental state, as you might have noticed. I put the music away. We don't need it anymore. So then we can, thank you for the great comments. Happy to hear you liked it. The music is pretty funky. I wanted to choose like two very, very different kind of songs for this. But let's go back to the slides once I get them here open. Just give me a second. So with this exercise, we wanted to activate the brain very differently as we did before. Let's see now. There seems to be something blocked. Well, let's go here anyway. From here. I hope you can see my slides. Yeah, okay, good. Good. I was a little bit hesitant. So there was the second movement exercise. So yeah, what we did, we wanted to activate the brain in a very different way than before. And we started to learn a choreography. So the movement itself, it was very simple as you saw before. So we stayed with the same reaching movement, but actually we wanted to activate with this one, the motor cortex, where it's like when we do some kind of conscious movements and when we are practicing new movements, that's when the motor cortex is active, and it's divided to three different sections. So to say, the primary motor cortex, it has this kind of like homunculus, this little human presenting the whole body, all the muscles, and it gets the input from the basal ganglia, which was the center of automatic movement. But so the motor cortex is active when we need to practice new kind of movements, and also from the cerebellum, which we will talk in the next slide. The other part of the motor cortex is premotor cortex, which also gets the input from basal ganglia, but it's related to the movement planning. So for example, when you start to think like, okay, how was the choreography, before you actually even move, this premotor cortex is active, and also it helps in guiding the movement in the space and also according to our senses. And the third one is the supplementary motor area, which is related to the control of movement, the body posture, in this one that we stay in the correct body posture, and also the coordination of both sides of the body, which might have been challenging with this exercise when we took the different rhythm, but then we put really the supplementary motor area into activity as well. Then the other part, which was active, is the cerebellum, which in addition to the basal ganglia is traditionally thought that it's fundamental area for movement. The cerebellum, little brain under the big brain, as you can see. So it's related to motor control. So let's say it doesn't initiate the movement, but once the movement is going, it's related to almost everything what happens there with the movement. So it's related to the coordination, the precision, and accurate timing. So the precision in the space, when we take the glass, that we actually move the hand there where the glass is, and also accurate timing there when you did the choreography with the music. So there's accurate timing. Then the cerebellum plays a big role. And also motor learning. So here you were learning the choreography. So then again, cerebellum was active. And also it's related to this like very, very basic physical abilities, such as balance and body posture. But interestingly, as I spoke in related to the basal ganglia, also cerebellum, unlike we believed before, it's not only the movement region in the brain, it plays a big role in social, in reward and social behaviors as well. And this again would explain why, well, why we feel such a big pleasure to move, and also why it's somehow so connecting to move together. So there at the same time, there's the social behavior already expressed and the moment. So then that's a very, very strong activation for the cerebellum. And in general, the cerebellum, it's kind of, it fine tunes the motor activity. So it integrates the messages from different regions of the brain, and then it kind of gives the final touch for the movement. And then the other one, what was very important with this kind of exercise we did, is prefrontal cortex, and most of all the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, which is kind of this cognitive center. So in this one, as you noticed, that you needed to be kind of more alert to be able to learn. And that's why I chose some music also, which is a little bit more upbeat. So we are not in this like sleepy state, which wasn't the purpose of this exercise. It was the purpose of the previous one. But again, as I said, that the healthy brain is dynamic. We need different kind of mental states and brain stages. So we wanted to be alert and learn. This prefrontal cortex, it's related to the cognitive control in general, being it working memory, attention, inhibition, switching from one task to another. And also in general, it's in charge of the sustained attention. And it's not active only when we are doing something cognitively challenging, but as we were talking with the premotor cortex related to movement, the prefrontal cortex is related to any kind of preparation for cognitive task. And this is why in contemporary lifestyle, if there are like many different tasks to do kind of at the same time, we might feel overwhelmed, and that's burdening for the prefrontal cortex, because it's not active only when we are doing something challenging, but we know like, oh, soon we need to do. So then kind of it's important also to be able to come like calm down the activity in that one. And that's why we would need exercises like the first one, but also we need cognitive challenge. But I feel like nowadays often the environment is cognitively too challenging. So in addition to these brain regions, the motor cortex, which is active when learning new movements, cerebellum, and the prefrontal cortex, which is related to cognitive tasks in general, not only related to movement, we activated the mirror neuron system. And that's activated not only when we move ourselves, but when we watch someone else doing a movement. So now when you saw me on the video or on the screen doing a movement, your body or your brain was kind of active already in a way as if you were making that movement. So it is kind of like mental mimicking of the movement. And different brain regions, which are part of this mirror neuron network, are motor, visual, and auditory cortices. So all these we were activating with the second exercise. So you might have noticed that these two simple short exercises, they required very different mental states. And I think this should be taken into account when designing different kind of brain-based training programs, being it experts, athletes, dancers, whoever, physical workers, embodied workers, but also in rehabilitation, different illnesses, what I work with, Wise Motion is MS disease, stroke, different kind of neurodegenerative illnesses, for example. So that the balanced training program should have many elements. So if we think about, for example, the experts, movement experts, like athletes, for example, that of course there's the skill learning needed, what we had in the second exercise. So just having repetition, so that we get the activity back into the basal ganglia, so it becomes automatic. And if we think in rehabilitation, this kind of skill training might be something very simple, like learning to walk again. So then this also, it needs a lot of repetition. But also it's important to take care of this kind of like basic bodily skills, like balance, flexibility, proprioception. How is my body? What is my body posture? And this can be enhanced also this kind of through the automated action. So we actually have quite a lot of wisdom in the body. So if we just approach with mental image of reaching a glass, the mental image might be so strong that it overcomes this, let's say, difficulty, which might have, for example, after stroke, that if you tell them to reach forward, maybe they cannot, but through the mental image, maybe they can. So then that's why the imagination is, and this kind of automated action, it's very important, a very strong tool. Also cognitive training is needed so that we can really enhance the attention. We learn to be more focused and more alert, and also the memory, being it memory for the moment or memory for different kind of cognitive tasks. And again, the level differs a lot. Are we doing the training for an expert or in rehabilitation? So for someone, the cognitive training can be something very, very basic if someone is recovering from a stroke, for example, or we want to do exercise for dementia patients just to maintain these functions. Whereas in the expert, it needs to be really like kind of versatile and challenging. But these are kind of like often these already are there when the programs are planned. But then what I wanted to highlight is the power of imagination and curiosity and awe, like being amazed. And that's, I think it's beautiful in dance and in creative fields in general, that there is this connection to one's internal world and the emotional aspect of the motor performance is also taken care of, and the social interaction. So then again, like when we went back to this memory of petting a dog or stroking a hair of a child, again, there is this like imagination, and there is this, you can be also curious, how would it feel to touch the fur and so forth. So that's important aspects, and you can take the advantage out of it in an imaginative ways. And also meditation, so calming down the mind and reducing the activity in the prefrontal cortex, what we were talking before. And sleep connects all these together. So through Wise Motion, actually I have workshops of all these different steps. So if you want to join, there we go much more into the detail, but this was just the general one. So then just shortly about the conclusions, different brain regions, and actually we covered almost the whole brain, but different brain regions support different aspects of movement. And as you can see, that it's not just one brain region which is related to the movement, it's almost the whole brain. And as you noticed, like when we were learning the cognitive task, we needed to be a little bit more alert, but kind of not too stressed or anxious. So the best cognitive performance is in the moderate arousal state. And this state we can also reach nicely through physical exercise, which is like targeted to enhance the cognitive performance. And before, it was thought that the physical exercise, body movement, why might disturb the cognitive processes by taking the neural resources to the movement when they should be used for cognition. But actually, it looks like it's the opposite. It looks like the aerobic exercise, for example, it might improve the pool of neurons allocated in a cognitive task. And that has been shown that there is increased oxygenated blood on the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex when moving. So this is, again, that there's more activity in these kind of cognitive processes of the brain. So designing an optimal physical exercise, it can improve attention, memory, mood, and sleep, and it can reduce prolonged pain, it can balance the feel-good and stress hormones, and it can also slow down the aging of the brain. Of course, not all of these at the same time, but then the movement exercise needs to be designed specifically to target certain kind of challenges or problems. And then, yeah, we went through the holistic view on highly skilled training and also for rehabilitation. But as I said, there's really a lot of information through Wise Motion. I really go much more into the detail in all of these tasks. I have a video here. I'm I can try. Well, now we are running out of time. So I suggest you go and visit my Vimeo, the White Motion Co Vimeo, and there you can find the video I wanted to show you. Because then I also wanted to tell you that there is a White Motion online course coming up today and tomorrow via Zoom. So you're very welcome to join. And there we deal more with the more go deeper into the meditation, neuroscience of meditation and a good sleep, and also have physical exercises related to them. And then also embodied cognition. How can we use body in learning? And there I use a lot of this knowledge, what is based on my research at the ETH Zurich. But if you can join this weekend, I hope you can. And then also you will have access to the recording for 1 week. So that's also a nice addition of this online world. But also until today, there is a 40% discount on the Wise Motion workshops, which you can join anytime. So you can purchase it and you can watch them and train them as many times as you want. And then also I invite you to order my Wise Motion newsletter. I send it once a month and I tell what's happening, what's coming up with Wise Motion. And when you order it, I will also send you a 7-point checklist on lifelong brain health. So that's a nice addition you will get. So hope to see you soon through any of these methods. I can try if the video works. Let's see if we have luck. So thank you. Thank you very much. As I said, like, hope to see you soon on one of the online workshops or in the real world. Send me an email also to order the newsletter or your questions. I'm afraid we are out of time. I would love to answer to your questions. So please send me your questions by email. I promise to make another short video. I will put it online. So just email me the questions and then we can continue the discussion, because I would love to hear your approaches. I know there are many experts here listening, so it will be wonderful to keep the conversation going. But there's that one take-home message, what I hope you remember from this course or this class, the session, is that the healthy brain is dynamic, and we really need these different kind of mental stages to feel good. So please email me your questions and comments. I will be happy to continue the conversation. And thank you so much. And thank you so much, Arjan. And thank you, the whole crew of the Embodiment Conference. I'm happy to be a part of it. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. That was so educational, but also such fun. Just dancing around the room here, I could feel the difference it was making to me. So lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy to hear.
Just to close, we are sponsoring a charity, which, because we're the Ecology and Research Channel, it's a tree planting charity. So if all goes well, I'm going to show you this short video, okay, don't worry. Okay, we'll skip that. I haven't managed to access that video, but it's called Forests Without Frontiers, and it's a charity which plants trees right the way across Central Europe. So they're doing a great job. So keep an eye out for that. Hannah, thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'll see you again soon. All the best with the conference.
Thank you. If you'd like to own this recording and so many of the others which we've been broadcasting, you can purchase it. There's several packages available, and it's a particularly good deal right now. And this one will be available free for the next 48 hours. And it's also, we put some of it out on Facebook, and maybe Anna will be able to be there, and if you can ask some questions. All right, thank you very much. See you in the next session. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.